Well, joining us for his regular chat, and that's Mr. Ken Bates. Morning, KB.
Good morning, Darren.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good, good. Did you have a good Christmas, first of all?
Had an interesting one.
Okay. Okay, I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that. Let's start, KB.
Much buoyed by the 4-1 win at Preston.
Well, yeah, that's good. Let's start with Leeds. They're not
doing
bad. I thought
we did get a question, but 4-1 was them. Mind you, Beckford didn't help his side's cause. But against that, we have to say we were already 3-1 up, playing 11 men, so that they can't use that as an issue for losing 4.
No, and it's pleasing to see Leeds playing so well when they go away from home. It's been quite a few years since they've scored 4 goals away from home.
Well, if you remember, I was saying a week or so ago that the fact that obviously got a very good defence now because of the fact that they're conceding so few goals is a great sign. I said, but we'll just pop in the odd one in. It'd be nice if we found our goal scoring feet, and obviously at Deep Dale we did. That's good. Now, in the 50s, Manchester City won promotion from the old second division to the old first division. They won 18 goals, 1-0. And Frank Swift, the big goalkeeper, he used to get a goal and then leave the rest to him. And he just used to play absolutely outstanding football. And they just couldn't score against him. And that's how they won promotion. Hoping that we'll carry on with this almost goal-free defence, but popping a few extra ones at the other end. Because at the end of the day, it looks about quite tight in the top 6 or 7, and goal difference might play a part in the closing stages. But 3 points is 3 points is 3 points, or 4 goals is 4 goals is 4 goals.
Well, exactly, and you know it's getting very exciting for Leeds fans. They're fourth in the table, certainly ahead of the game against Aston Villa this evening. So they're things are going very, very well at the moment. I suppose January it's just crucial what happens in January with any transfers going out, going in, and securing Gary Monk further than the end of the season. You'd think.
But on the other hand, you see this analysis of the paper article in the Times today. Points out that Lewis Cook going to Bournemouth means Leeds have only spent £1 million net on transfers, and they appear to be spent wise. The money's been spent wisely, and that's all very encouraging. We'll talk about 2017 in a minute, but I'm very pleased for them, and let's hope it continues.
Yeah, exactly, KB. Let's move on to some news that came out yesterday about FIFA. And we talked about this a little bit earlier on, which is about Gianni Infantini's plans to increase the amount of teams that are at the World Cup to 48. And he's now saying that global football federations are overwhelmingly in favour of those plans, KB.
Well, yeah, he doesn't name them, though, does he?
No.
What you have to remember, all the little two-bob world associations obviously are in favour of it because it means another freebie, some exotic part of the world, junkets, first-class fares, five-star hotels, all that kind of stuff. But it plays havoc with the clubs whose players are taken away. But more importantly, it plays havoc with the fans. Because if you're going to play these kind of games, each club is going to play two games. That's 96 matches. Got to be saved in whichever country is hosting it. And then there's got a bigger demand on grounds. Are the national association, who Russia, for example, prepared to spend an awful lot of money on an eye-watering new stadium which will never be used after the World Cup? And also for the fans, the travelling expenses will be exorbitant. Travelling internally, and then the demand on the hotels. It's I think it's a mad idea. The whole idea is you have the regional competitions and the top countries in the regional competitions going the first 32. It should be only 24. And most of the games turn out to be meaningless. Now, I'm against it. I think it's just another money-making operation, which, of course, FIFA are very good at. Bugger the clubs, bugger the fans, bugger the players. Let's nick a couple of billion out of a country, sometimes too poor to afford it. South Africa being the prime example. Let's break away from FIFA. We don't need FIFA. What we need is an association, a loose association, of the big national associations, national FAs, and the money spent on proper grassroots football instead of lining the pockets of people like Mr. Blatter, Mr. Platini.
Yes, quite right too, KB. Talking still more football, and another managerial casualty this week, Swansea City have sacked Bob Bradley on Tuesday, and that was just after 85 days in charge. The Swans are now 19th in the Premier League. How much would they want Gary Monk back to manage them? But KB, I mean, this is another candidate of Premier League teams wanting success so quickly, but not giving managers any chance at all to do that.
Well, I never know why they appointed this fellow in the first place. First of all, he's American. Not that I'm anti-American per se. He had no experience of European football at all. It's a very different game over here, which is over there. And, of course, Swansea's owners are American. But when in Rome, we do as the Romans do. You choose local. I think they made an appalling mistake in sacking Monk. I admired him a great deal when he was at Swansea. And couldn't believe we were lucky enough to get him for Leeds. And we have to acknowledge that was one of Massimo Cellino's cannier moves. And the man had made such a change, the whole atmosphere that I've heard, and winning the dressing room, which the past few managers haven't. And I don't know why they sacked Monk in the first place. He did a good job for them. And the real problem for Swansea now is who wants to go there? Since he's right at the end of the railway line, West Wales per se, you want to get a cup of tea and a cup of coffee in Cardiff if you've got to travel nearly 100 miles. If it ain't broke, don't mend it. Swansea were a well-run, well-managed club, which I admire. It's all gone to pot now. And for what? Change for the sake of changing? I mean, you mentioned Ryan Giggs. Well, that'll be a shot in the dark, both for Swansea and for Ryan Giggs. If you decide to take it, good luck to him. But I think they want somebody solid, experienced, and probably mentally strong enough to stand up to the owner, the chairman. As I remember the story when Alec Ferguson was asked his advice from a potential managerial candidate at some club, and asked him what he thought. And Ferguson said, look at the chairman. Find out what you can about the chairman. And then see if he's the kind of guy you can work with. Because he is a guy you will be working with. Unless you get on from day one, it won't work. I think Swansea's relegation is almost inevitable. It's very hard for them to come back again. But on the other hand, Swansea's lost his Leeds game. We've got Gary Monk. I think he's going to do a very good job. Well, if we go up, they come down. Monk might have to go back to Swansea. There's a ground still called Vetch Field. It used to be when I was young.
Well, KB, looking back over 2016, it's been certainly a very busy year. There's been lots of things happening over the course of the year. What are your thoughts ahead for 2017, and what do you think we should be expecting?
Well, I think we can reasonably expect Leeds to be in the fourth round of the FA Cup. Peterborough at home means upset happens, we know, but reasonably so, we should be expecting to get at least the fourth round of the FA Cup. And I think we should be looking at holding our place in the playoffs. Brighton and Newcastle certainly got a head start in the top two places. And of course, you never know what happens in the second half of the season. But I think we can comfortably expect, hope and pray that we get in the top, get at least in the playoffs. And with a reasonable chance of getting promotion, which would be fantastic. Really will. I think that's when you look there. I think in football generally, the much maligned Suits need to take back control of the Football Association and have it run by football people. For too many years now, the FA at the top has been run by people, or led by people, who know little or nothing about football. Greg Dyke was a total disaster. So was the Lord, I can't remember his name properly, something Steen or what, Lord McWinnie in the Football League. Adam Crozier was good at Saatchi & Saatchi, turned the poster into a profit, Royal Mail, they closed half of it. ITV seemed to be doing a good job there, but after an initial good start at the FA was a disaster, and the FA got into financial chaos, so that's why I had to walk. Now it'd be nice to have everybody slags off the Suits and the Suits and the Blazers for the FA. I don't remember Greg Dyke ever running the line in non-league football on a Sunday morning. And these guys, they get to the FA Council after years of free honorary service to the game at the lowest levels. They work jolly hard. And I think they've got to take control of the game to get the English, the national team, back where it should be. But let's just go through what's happening at the moment. What's happened? And give food for thought. And discuss it over the pub tonight. Over a pint in the pub tonight. The original idea years ago was when they introduced the academy system, it was FA academy system. It was to find the best English players, English kids, and groom them, and train them, and give them proper coaching so they could soar ahead of the mob, if you like, the buck. And it was funded by the FA. Out of the money received from the FA Cup, the national team. But we always took in Irish, Scottish and Welsh kids into the English FA academies or schools of excellence, centres of excellence. But now we're bringing foreigners in for kids from all over the world. Or not eligible to play for England. We should copy the idea that Scotland had 20, 30 years ago. That is, first of all, only English kids going to the English academies. Secondly, there's a limit on them, on the numbers. There's so many kids go to, are dazzled by the idea of playing for a big club, they never get there, because there's dozens and scores and sometimes even hundreds of kids. They're just swept up to stop other clubs buying them, and if they don't get a chance. And there should be a tax on foreign players coming in. An import tax. And that money should go back to the grassroots. That's what I would like to see. English FA for the English. We have to acknowledge that Wales and Northern Ireland, and they've been doing quite well recently. I'm very pleased for them. They do it on a much smaller budget and much smaller gates, smaller populations. Mrs. Sturgeon's lot, well, sooner or less said the better. England for the English, or should we say English FA for English footballers? We're just a smattering, a leavening of non-English players to give it a little flip. That's my hope for 2017 for English football, that we, after the disaster of Hodgson and others, Ericsson, we want a good, strong English team hold our own in the next World Cup. And the UEFA international competition as well. That'd be the cherry on the cake. No, that'd be the cherry on the icing on the cake. Leeds. Well, I hope they're for Leeds in 2017. I hope their academy continues to prosper. They concentrate on having Yorkshire kids playing for the top Yorkshire club. But also I hope that the fans, particularly the Twitter twats, perhaps hold their voice, hold their tongue. If short-term things go wrong, if people really support Leeds, and so they should. So just remember, what you write in the internet, social media, is read round the world. And what people read is the impression they get of Leeds United. So it might be funny at the time if you write it badly, derogatory. You have a knock-on effect on the image of the club around the world, and it doesn't do them any good. So, marching on together, going to mean exactly that, marching on together. In the bad days, there are the good days. Finally, we can look forward to a great 2017 generally. Brexit's coming up in 2 months' time, 3 months' time. We're going to get out. Turns out now even the Queen wants us to get out. We probably always did, but didn't say it before. That's a bit of a leak. But we are a great country. Have a great future. So many of the innovations, technical and engineering and electronics, have been invented in England. As an example, yesterday, where this Japanese company just bought Dunlop. Mr. Dunlop was an Englishman. And he invented the inflatable tyre that drives all our wheels today. Yeah, not America, not anywhere, not Russia, England, an Englishman, invented that tire. And we're inventing new things all the time. We're a great country. And now that once we've got our way out of that horrible Euro mess, we can be really great again. And all the doom-laden Mr. Osborne, I see he's wagging his tail again, should go back in his kennel. There was no 500,000 unemployed. There was no 50 billion emergency budget. Jobs will continue to rise. Exports will continue to grow. And big companies, international companies, are still stating their intention, if they've already done it, start doing it, of investing in Britain. We can do it. Oh, one other thing you should remember. All this scared about immigration. They're all trying to mislead you again. What the government is saying is that we want to control our immigration. We want to decide who is allowed into this great country. Not all those bloody Roman gypsies who are parked up out in Hyde Park making a mess of the place. We want people to come to Britain if they have something to offer. Not just benefit scroungers, parasites. Because Britain is a country of immigrants, or it has been. We've expanded, but it's got out of control. And then, when we're out of Europe, then the next thing Mrs. May must do is take her axe to those bloody quangos, overpaid civil servants, there are too many of them, simplify the tax system, reduce the burden on the working, not the working class, the working people of this country, have to carry such burdens on their shoulders. Then we will be great again. If Mrs. Sturgeon wants to lead the party, well, there they go. But let me just ask Mrs. Sturgeon a few questions. Finally, where will your Army, Navy and Air Force come from? And if you're an independent country, you can't expect England to build their battleships and other naval craft on the Clyde. Who will bail out the Royal Bank of Scotland and the Bank of Scotland next time they have a crisis? The English did last time, the Bank of England. When we're doing that. And what will your currency be? The groat or the haggis? And finally, what makes you think, a terrible mess the EU are in the European Union are at the moment, Italy, Greece, France, Spain, why would they want another country for looking for a handout? Because if you go independent, that's it. Independence means independence. Just don't bring your begging bowl down to Whitehall. Take it up and down Princes Street in Edinburgh. See how much you get. So, I think that Leeds are going to have a great year. England are going to have a great year. Hopefully on the football pitch as well. We're going to go forward. And if you're working it, you'll have a great year. Hope you'll do. And don't drink. And watch what you're driving. What you're driving if you're drinking. Remember, more people are called by accidents than anything else. Happy and prosperous New Year. And I wish you all you wish for yourself.